From the four corners of Southern California, this is The Hot Seat, and you're in it with me, Max Schwartz. It starts right now. This is a special edition of The Hot Seat where I'm not doing an interview, but instead I have Rachel Scott, Annenberg TV News reporter and executive producer and co-host of live election night coverage with me in the Annenberg Radio News studio to discuss Hillary Clinton and the other Republican candidates who have declared. Rachel, thank you for joining me in the hot seat. It's a pleasure to have you in studio today.
Thank you so much for having me, Max.
Oh, it is my pleasure. This is a wonderful opportunity, and this is another way we can take advantage of the amazing facilities that we do have here. So without further ado, let's get started. What did you think of Hillary's video?
You know, I thought it was interesting for sure. I mean, she's looking for a way to reach out to regular Americans, from, you know, a mother going back to work after many years, to her kind of making this angle as in she wants to leave the world a better place for her granddaughter. And I think it's a really good way to appeal to Americans that are really looking for another option this election.
Yes, and she does keep a lot of hidden themes in there, such as the LGBT, the people moving, which obviously is symbolic of a changing mortgage environment and banking environment, along with the greater opportunities for middle class. Although she was very clear to emphasize, and the other media outlets analyzed this, that even though the middle class is bouncing back, it hasn't bounced back enough. And that's one of the things that she's going to try to spur. There's diversity in the video. There's new businesses. And as I said earlier, the LGBT, which is obviously going to be a big campaign issue.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting. And she announced it at a very interesting time on a very interesting platform as well. Again, trying to appeal to either a younger audience, more widespread Americans. So I'm pretty confident that she's going to do well. But now it's just the question on who's going to be up against her.
That is very true. And before we move on to possible challengers, though, I do want to just mention quickly that, yes, I believe the YouTube videos seem to be the way things are going. And I think that has to do with attracting the younger crowd. And obviously, she didn't want anything flashy. The campaign reported that she's going to have a formal announcement in the next month. And I guess that along with who she portrayed in the video is trying to make her more middle class relatable, and obviously is emphasizing the middle class as a point. But one thing that the New York Times pointed out this morning that it was a very good point is that she failed to actually mention unions. You had the factory worker who was in there, who was at the end of the video, who played a significant portion before her technical announcement. But other than that, you have no direct mention of the unions.
Yeah, that's very true. And, you know, I think it's going to be very interesting to see who steps up to run against her as well, though, and how much money she's raised.
Yeah.
Do we know how much money Hillary Clinton has actually raised?
Well, I don't believe she's raised anything yet as an official candidate, because everything before was through the unaffiliated super PAC.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, because I feel like she's going to rake in a lot of money, which is going to be very helpful for her.
Yes. Ted Cruz and his PACs have raised $31 million, I believe it is. So it will be very interesting to see whether she can compete against that. And she does have this built-in base of support from her last campaign, Obama supporters, along with supporters of Bill Clinton and supporters of the Clinton Foundation and the Clinton initiatives. So she does have that built-in support. What will be interesting to see if she can attract the younger demographic of voters, something that Rand Paul is trying to do, and I believe so far he's been successfully able to do it.
And she has Obama behind her. You know, he made a comment when in Panama City this weekend that he is supporting her. So tough luck for the other Democrat that decides to step up to the plate.
That's true, but I don't know if it's technically an endorsement or whether he just praised her. Mm. It will be interesting to see, because it's throwing Joe Biden under the bus, which is maybe he knew Joe wasn't going to run, or maybe he legitimately thinks Hillary's more qualified. But I thought that was sort of interesting or funny in a way. But she did, the main quote that resonated with me from the video is, "When families are strong, America is strong." And obviously, that means all families,
mm-hmm. right?
And of all different places in society. And I think that's a key point that is going to be similar to what the Republicans have, because they're all about conservative family values. But I think at the same time, Hillary's the one to have obviously more progressive values. But I think that her middle class values go beyond those of Republicans, even though they may be in the middle class as well.
Well, I think that's going to be the key here to winning this election, is really getting the middle class behind you. I mean, that's going to be the reason why. I mean, we saw Obama doing that, you know, 8 years ago. And I think this is going to be something that she's going to have to do on both sides. The Republicans and the Democrats are going to have to reach out to the middle class to see what they can offer them, because they're going to be the ones that are raking in all these votes.
Now, how do you think she'll be able to do against a Rand Paul, who's obviously trying to get the younger voting crowd and is a different type of conservative than Ted Cruz?
You know, I think she's going to do really well. The thing about Hillary Clinton that people really like is that she's different. The only problems that she faces is that she has all of these problems that kind of came up in the last year or so, all these controversies. And I think that may be a hard thing for her to tackle in the debates. I think the debates are going to be very interesting if she ends up getting that far, obviously. But to see how well she does, how well she speaks to different policies and how well she talks about different things, and how well she handles the criticism and the backlash, I think that is going to be a clear indicator on whether or not she's going to be able to govern the country.
Do you think, though, that the email issue and the Benghazi issue are going to be serious problems for her? Do you think by the time she gets to being the Democratic nominee that they will have subsided?
You know, with her, because she has had that role, she's one of the only people that's going to be running that has had that role. And so it's going to be easy for them to attack her when it comes to issues of, security or, foreign policy or whatever it is. I mean, they can really attack everything that she's done. And for her, she can only respond to their ideas or their policies or whatever they want to implement. But I think it is going to maintain an issue for her. For sure, definitely, especially in the debates.
Okay, and even though they can't attack her, she's the only one who's had this real experience. And as I was telling somebody last night, yes, the buck ultimately stops with her, but at the same time, she cannot micromanage every diplomatic mission in the world.
That's very true.
So it's just a matter of if, in fact, the security concerns didn't get to her, if she knew about them and didn't act, I think that's where she'll have a problem, and not necessarily the fact that this happened under her watch, although the Republicans are going to try to make that an issue. And as far as the emails are concerned, I think if she truly did give everything over that was work-related, it's fine because she wasn't in violation of federal law. What she's going to get into a problem with, and she already has, is whether or not because she herself or her team made the determination of what was work-related and what wasn't, mm-hmm. you're always going to have the Republican and possibly Democratic scrutiny of how do we know for sure she's telling the truth.
Right. And I think that's going to be a big issue for her. But I think the bigger issue is going to be trying to reintroduce herself to Americans as well, which is what we saw her doing in the mm-hmm. video. But I think a lot of Americans think she's so far removed from them because she's had all these years where she hasn't been an average American. And I think that's also going to be a very hard task for her to reach out and to say, I get what you're struggling through, even though I haven't been in your position in decades.
That is very true. And I think it's the same problem Mitt Romney had, although on a mm-hmm. different and lesser scale. And I think that's part of the reason why she's taking a van to Iowa instead of flying, is that she wants to be able to see everyday Americans like we saw her do at the gas station, introduce herself, and to try to make her more relatable. The meeting portion, I can understand if this is completely an attempt to be more relatable, I think it will backfire, just as Mitt Romney was when there was an image of him pumping his own gas in his van.
Yeah, it may backfire, but I mean, that's something that the other candidates have a leg up on her. They, mm-hmm. they interact with their constituents. Yeah. They talk to them all the time. They see them at events. I mean, it's a little bit harder for Hillary Clinton to reach out to the average American that maybe disagrees with her a little bit. She has so much support behind her, and it's great that she's meeting with supporters and all this other stuff, but she needs to meet with other people to get their viewpoints and really figure out, what is troubling for the middle class today. That's going to be a huge part of winning this election, and for every other American. Healthcare is going to be a big issue. I'm interested to see her thoughts on Obamacare as well, especially when it comes up in debates.
Mm-hmm. And obviously she's going to want to keep it, and it's just a matter of her trying to improve legislation if she can at all, but I wouldn't expect her to move on it if Congress stays this way it does. Although I think there's a chance Congress could flip-flop and Democrats could take the Senate could now take the Senate or the House or just the House. I think there's a greater chance of them taking the House, but that's a different conversation entirely. But I think the main issue in terms of the middle class is going to be jobs, job security, pay. Obviously, she's going to want to increase pay. She's going to want to make it so that way there's no glass, less of a glass ceiling or no glass ceiling for women, and also so there's equal pay between men and women. Do you think that's something she'll be able to choose in, or to do in today's polarized climate?
I think it's going to be hard to tackle all of those. I think she's going to have to pick her priorities and things. I mean, you know, not make a whole bunch of campaign promises. She's going to have to pick a few select things that she wants to do. And I think her being a woman, women's issues is something that she has to have on the board for sure. She has to have a platform that's either about equal pay, women's rights, something to reach out to the women voters. But as well, she needs to reach out to the minorities in the middle class. That's the way to winning this election. And as we see, that's what's worked for Obama. And that's something where the Republicans are lacking as well.
That is very true. Do you think, though, that I think the road to the White House is, yes, the minorities, but I think they're part of the built-in Democratic base because the Republicans have alienated them on social issues and fiscal issues. But I think a key in terms of states, one of the keys is Florida. Do you think that if it's Marco Rubio or Jeb Bush against her, do you think that she can have a legitimate chance of winning Florida?
That's a good question, Max. I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be really tough. I think that will be dependent on which one of them pulls through.
Yeah, that is true. And the demographics, and I think Marco Rubio is also being a younger man, is going to be trying to attract the younger crowd as well. And it will be very interesting to see what happens with her between the Republican Party infighting, because you have different demographics of people and you have different age groups. Do you think that Ted Cruz will have a legitimate chance?
I don't. Is that terrible to say? I think that he has a small chance, but I don't think he has a huge one. I mean, I don't. What are your thoughts on that, Max?
Well, I think that he's certainly going to. He certainly is, has a certain part of the conservative base that's his. I think people are going to be blaming him for the government shutdown, although that seems to have lessened a bit. But like I said, I think out of the current Republicans, I think Rand Paul is the most favorable.
Yes.
Because of his ideas on, because of his libertarian ideology and because he attracts to a wide range of people and not the old white man stereotype that we see from the Republican Party. But we are running out of time. So one last question for you is, if Hillary Clinton wins, what do you say is her, or what is her number one item that she tries to get through Congress with her new political clout?
I think the biggest thing is going to, like I said before, something that's going to be focused on women, because we haven't seen a female get this far before. And so I think one of her biggest issues is going to be something that's focused around women, something that everyone can rally behind and everyone can agree on. I don't think she's going to try and tackle anything too serious as her first issue that she's trying to get the pass or anything like that. I think she's going to try and get something passed that almost everyone could agree on, both Democrats and Republicans. And I think women's rights is one of those things.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that, Rachel, and thank you very much for joining me in the hot seat today. It was a pleasure. The Hot Seat After Hours starts right now. You can email the Hot Seat inbox at thehotseatwithmaxschwartz@gmail.com, or you can tweet me at MaxSchwartzTV. You can subscribe to the Hot Seat newsletter by going to annenbergradio.org/podcast and clicking on the link underneath the description and enter your email address. Thank you very much for listening, and the Hot Seat will be back next time, and we will hope you will join us then. And if we are not back before the end of the semester, have a wonderful summer, and we will be back with you in the fall. Good day.